Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Neil Baker Psychic Hour. I am Kristen, and I'm here with Neil Baker. Good morning, Neil.
Good morning.
And today, we, of course, are taking listener calls for readings. We are also discussing the element of faith in a birth date code. In a birth date code, sans the L that I just added. First, want to let everybody know how to stay connected with us. You may follow us right here on Blog Talk Radio. You may also join us on Facebook, on Twitter. Those accounts are linked under a Blog Talk Radio profile. Some of you may be readers and interested in Neil's books. Those are linked under our Blog Talk Radio profile as well on his Amazon.com page. And we do get to our readings at about a quarter after the hour. So, without further discussion, Neil, let's get on to the subject at hand, which is the element of faith in the birth date code. So in one's birth date, in the number system, you can read whether someone has faith or not.
Well, yes, in a way that's true.
Is it a vibration,
it's
vibrational energy?
It's a vibration that's directed to the numbers in a birth date that begin to give me some attitude of a sensation that helps me read a person. So basically, when you're looking, any number can hold faith. Faith can be based upon any level of existence. You can have faith in terms of the higher aspects of your soul, and you have faith in terms of the lower aspects of your body. Some people just, you know, they say, you know, their quest in life is basically on an earthly level, so they use a lot of attitudes of faith to obtain their desires on the earth in and of itself. Now, the energy of faith is what's important. So, when we talk about these concepts, what do we have faith in? First of all, faith is trust. It's a belief. It's an action. It's based upon, we use this attitude of blind faith, but that's kind of wrong. We just don't have blind faith. We have to allude our faith to something. And when we get into more of the abstract qualities of faith, where we more or less deal with, first of all, you know, you have to look at faith in terms of what religion, whether it's Christianity, Buddhism, Hinduism, Islam, whatever your attitude of faith is basically based upon what your principle of belief or knowledge is. So you just don't have blind faith. Now, of course, in Hinduism, where the word Om comes in, and that's the kind of the value, it's sort of Sanskrit, and it's, it kind of resonates with the peacefulness that's within one's higher self. And the sound of it, the vibration of it, is supposed to have a profound effect on the body and the mind as one chants it in a process of serenity and healing. But that's under the pure expression that the universal energy. And when we talk about the universe and things like that, we're really talking about more about the attitude of Hinduism. Because Judaism, Christianity doesn't doesn't really use the term the universe. I adapt myself to many different attitudes of belief because I'm a man who seeks knowledge. So I'll often allude to the universe without mistaking that for God itself. They're two separate entities to me. But I will often allude to the universe because I just am built to allude to different aspects of thought. Now, when we talk about the universe, we're also talking about the pure expression of the energy that's within ourselves, that we merge into the consciousness of it, and that therefore we have an infinite self, and that is the eternal home of the spirit of life. So if we attune to our own energies and thereby connect to the, quote, universe, we are in connection to a higher realm, and then therefore we can learn faithfulness through the oneness of the evolution of God and how it shines in our life and that kind of thing. And that God is actually, in terms of the universe, that means that God is in everything. So the Hindus, they don't even kill cows because their further belief in reincarnation and that the soul of a human being can be reincarnated in a cow but it's still, it's about the aspect of oneness. Now that's very different, even though it has attitudes of faith in it, that's very different from other aspects of faith, because even, let's say, when you get into Judaism doesn't really, faith is part of Judaism, but Judaism is obedience to God. It's very much like Islam, which is another form of obedience to God. Mm-hmm. God gave the covenant to Moses and the Ten Commandments, and you're supposed to obey it, and this is by showing God's love for his people, and et cetera, et cetera. So they go into the obedience. Faith is a sort of an abstract principle, and it wasn't really, faith became more clarified in terms of faith is actually more clarified in terms of Buddhism and Christianity, where the attitude of faith now becomes a somewhat of a conviction. Now, in the embodiment of Christ, Christ was the action figure. Christ is really an action figure. Like we have our action figures today, Christ was the superhero of the basis of faith. And he redefined faith and used it as a visible aspect of energy. In other words, that you don't have blind faith. Faith is something that is concrete. It's actually not an abstraction. It is the real thing. And so the attitude of faith is what breaks into the mysteries of God, because in Christianity we have the mysteries of God, and you break through that by being connected to God. And then, therefore, by having faith, you're connected more to God, and that's how it's manifest. We're kind of getting into a deeper discussion about what faith is, but this leads us to the birth date energy.
So I would suppose that if someone is more active in their birth date code, they've activated the numbers, then there's going to be a higher level of faith no matter what the number system is, first of all.
Yeah.
And then we get into the aspect of the higher numbers.
The higher numbers.
The energies in between the numbers, things like that,
yeah,
which will either, you know,
well, we have to first define what a birth date is. Is it just a linear, simple day that we were born, or does it represent a deeper journey of the soul? And assuming that we have a soul, which is basically an attitude of faith, unless you're an existentialist and you just have faith in the human will to change the universe by will, free will, which is short of having to believe in God, then we have this attitude that the birth date is actually a code for the journey of the soul. And as we manifest, each time we come down to the planet, as we manifest these higher principles, the numbers start to align themselves in seemingly somewhat of a random order. That's why we're not all born 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Right.
We're born in a variation of energies, which, in my estimation, has a karmic side and a transcendent side. Now, in that regard, for instance, people who are born in the seventh month, and we're talking about the Judeo-Christian calendar, the attitude would be that's the seventh chakra. And that seventh chakra is about coming back to regroup with a lost faith. that's lost. Now, a faith that's lost, you can't lose faith without first having it. So those of us who have, in past lives, have worked with faith, but that is, would be, in losing it, that would be faith with contingency. In other words, you have faith as long as everything's going well. Or you have faith even in the midst of turmoil, but ultimately you die without really having faith or belief. And faith, we know, is about belief. It's actually, that's what it means. It's the idea that we have belief, trust, confidence in a living organism, a deity, and that there's some form of proof, whether it's a personal subjective viewpoint of proof or whether one was given proof because they saw it, like the Doubting Thomas type thing. So that attitude we build with us, and we carry it with us. Now, some of us who have lower numbers in our birth date, we have to recreate the image of faith. There's very little faith involved in the process. I can always feel out an atheist from a past life, someone who's come back to the planet based upon a previous lifetime of being an atheist or being devoid of any thought of God, that you just live and die.
So is there a specific system in the numbers that you would look for, or is it, are we talking again more about vibrational?
Well, vibration, I mean, energy. A higher number in a birth date doesn't necessarily mean that the person wasn't an atheist. And a lower number in a birth date doesn't necessarily mean that a person was an atheist.
What about the contrast of like a, you know, 7 to a, then a drop from a 7 to a 1, something like that?
That to me is indicative of someone who had great faith and lost.
And lost it.
Because of a incident.
So you may not see a 7, for instance, in a code of an atheist in a past life. Or you may see it on the transcendent side of the birth date, perhaps.
I can. I just don't. You know, it's not a simple.
It's not a hard.
It's not
fast
a simple.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you look at a number, and I mean, God forbid that universe is defined specifically by our birth dates
mm-hmm.
and the crude interpretation of numbers. But numbers do signify something, and as we get deep into the system of numbers and the Bible code and how numbers work, and even on in the attitude of physics and geometry and construction of energy. The definition of science and space and time. Yes, numbers do significantly a part of the teaching. They help to unravel the mysteries of God. So on a pure scientist can be just as much a searcher of God's mysteries as a strong religious human being. It's just that where your attitude is. Most scientists won't talk about faith. They'll talk about faith in numbers, faith in evidence, faith in data. A strongly spiritual person will talk about faith in more of the abstractions, in God or a deity or something like that. But the two are still basically abstractions to the rational mind. We may define God rationally, but it's still an abstraction, just as numbers are an abstraction. I can't take a number to lunch. And I can't take God to lunch. Well, maybe you can, and maybe you can take a number to lunch. You're also given a number at the table, so I don't know. But in exact terminology, these are abstractions. And when we get into the idea of faith, we're really talking about how the soul and the spirit are talking to the body, because the body doesn't have any reason to have any belief in faith. The body is the animal. It's the crude animal. There, you know, we know in the cave drawings that there is some higher frontal brain activity going on to where there's an awareness of something else. And you would sometimes swear when you're looking at chimpanzees and apes, the way they marvel at waterfalls and look up at the stars and things like that, that there's got to be some seed of consciousness, even though it's never going to be probably observed in our lifetime, that they can really articulate a concept of God, and I doubt if they do, or just as birds follow migration, so they being directed by God in some form of energy. So I think, you know, it has a lot to do with the brain itself and our ability to first of all, abstract and to think rationally in terms of the energy field. So And this, of course, can be in the arrangement of the birth dates of the numbers, in the numbers and the birth date, because they can be arranged in such an order that you can almost look at a birth date and discover a person's soul journey through the attitude of faith or belief in God and what they have left to do to get to that place of inspiration, to where it's just not blind faith, but a faith built upon knowledge and the construction of thought as much as the element that is the burden of proof, whether it's just blind faith. Some people apply blind faith because they just say, I just believe. That sheer obedience, like in Islam, you just have sheer obedience. You don't question. You're just obedient. But I, you know, all religions have some basis of doctrine, teaching, that is the key to understanding what faith is about, because the more God is revealed to us through study, the more we tend to have faith in God, or in the universe for that matter.
Okay, Neil. Well, we've got a lot of callers, and we always have the option of continuing this because it's an ever-evolving conversation here on our show. And for those of you that are interested in learning more about numbers, we are writing a book, which will be released, I don't know when, but we are working on that book.
We've been working on it for a year, and, you know, research is...
You don't really write a book like that in, you know, a short amount of time.
No, it's a long, long project. I wrote, it took me 7 years to write one novel alone, and
we're hoping that this isn't going to take 7 years.
Into another.
Okay.
Getting old.
All right. Yes. Let's take our first caller from the 413 area code. Good morning, 413. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, who's this?
Hi, it's Amber.
Oh, hey, Amber. Amber, you're born in when? 11? Is it November?
18. Yeah.
11-18. And the year again?
88.
88, and you're like a 37-10-1, I think, or 38-11-2, 8-9-10-11, 21-37-10-1. Okay, well, close. What is your question this morning, Amber? It's been a while.
It has been. So I'm on the verge of moving to a new place, and I was wondering if that was opening up energy for a new relationship to come my way.
Okay.
Well, moving opens up many things because when you move, you just don't make a geographical move. You're making a karmic move, transcendent move. You could even be making a tribal move. When I say karmic move, you could be moving to a place where you had past life experiences. And the movements there are in sync with when you talk about a relationship, then we have to talk about what is the connection to the person you're going to be having a relationship with. It's easy to say that you're going to have a relationship, but then we have to look at the other side of the coin and say, well, who are you going to have a relationship with? What is their journey? And why are they moving to the same place? Or why are they living there? And what's going to occur between the two of you, maybe perhaps based upon a past life? Now, your master number is 37-10-1, which has some significance as you have elements, Amber, of yearly changes, changes within every decade, and then ultimately changes at the age of 37, and then the duplication of all of those factors. You're 26 years old. In some respects, you're 16 years beyond the age of 10. You're 25 years old beyond the age of 1, and you have 11 years to go until you reach 37. What you do have that's significant is you've got an 11 in your month, which indicates a relationship coming. Because I'm deeming that in your linear birth date, you're still within the karmic, some form of karmic stage, even though at 10 you did have a break in life. I would imagine around the age of 9, 10, you had a break in life, or between the age of 9 and 11. It would have been a change in your life, maybe a move or something, but a change.
Can she validate that?
I don't know. Can you answer?
Yes. My parents got divorced and I moved.
Yeah. So you see, when we work out the numerical code, typically more often than not, well, I'll get these validations from people that I speak to because the numerical code holds truth to a large degree. It's not foolproof, but to a large degree. So you had the parents divorce, you moved, because the element of your karma involves your master number, 1, and then there's also 111. And the 11 does signify some turmoil before the age or by the age of 11, so there's going to be turmoil. Now what we're talking about, Amber, as we get deeper into the conversation, we're talking about the elements of relationships. Because the element of relationship became a major theme in your early years, considering that you're also an old soul, and you're not really 11. You could be hundreds of years old according to your past lives. So your energy is more about the theme of relationships and moving. So here you are now the age of 26, and we make this great leap from the age of around 11 to 26, and we're dealing with the same thing: change, movement, location, relocation, and questions of relationship. And so you have to have a relationship in the move. It's guaranteed, because it's part of the stream of your life. It's the river of your life. So in the river of your life, that's one of the tools, one of the parts of your speech that is going to be implied in the construction of your journey. So you're actually, one of your tools is relationships. And they're going to be there, Amber. So you are going to be encountering a relationship in your move. And not only that, but it's going to be very intense. And what I mean by intense is that it doesn't have a firm, fixed conclusion. It's going to be a creative journey that you have with this person based on a past life to where the two of you meet head on, so to speak, and collide by karma. And once the karma resides into transcendence, you can recreate your relationship with this person and maybe go even further than just having a karmic relationship with someone, which is bound to break up. So that's what you're about to be, what you're about to encounter. And I would say around April, May, you could start to see the light being turned on in terms of this relationship.
Wow, that's soon.
Yeah.
Well, it could be. I said the verb is could be, not will be, could be.
Right.
The reason I'm saying April, May, but basically a vibrational interpretation, not specifically anything written. When do you plan to move?
April.
Oh.
Huh.
There we go. Well, you didn't tell me that before, so there we are. There we are. So that's about, you know, it could come out immediately, you know. But if April, as it stands, April is the month of movement and May may be the month of the relationship. But at least we've got some foundation in our short reading today.
Okay, Amber. Well,
perfect. Thank you.
Hear from you. And Neil's available, 562-596-7818. Amber can also join us on Facebook or on Twitter. And she's good about, I think, making changes in her life. I mean, how old is she? 27?
She's 26.
26? So, I mean, young, but, you know, she got out of a situation that she had originally called us about and is moving forward. So I imagine that your positive predictions will come to fruition based on her level of commitment to making changes that are positive in her life.
Amber's got some interesting, you know, she's got 3 8s, which is 24, and then 3 1s.
3 1s.
So there's a reflection of energy. That comes to actually 27, which means that this November she's going to be going through a big change, and 27 is 10 years prior to 37,
right.
And 10 is
that's
part of her
without
master
the century, essentially, is what you're saying.
Was she still listening?
Yeah, she is.
So that's a little other note there.
Little side note for Amber. Okay, let's bring on another caller, shall we? 936, area code, good morning.
Hi, Neil. Hi, Kristen.
This
is Lindsay from Texas. Lindsay?
Oh, hey,
from
Lindsay.
Texas.
How are you?
Hi, how are you guys? Good, how are you?
Good.
April 2nd, 1984.
You're a 28-10-1, so that's interesting. 37-10-1 from our first caller. What's going on, Lindsay?
Well, I had a very profound dream the other night. I felt like I was in the 1930s, 1940s Germany, and I was in this train depot, and I was told not to move this train, but I did, and it was moving slowly, like inch by inch by inch, and I was trying to stop it, and all these people around me were trying to help me stop this train. So I saw this name written on a wall. It said Alder, A-U-L-D-E-R.
Alder.
And whenever I came out of the dream, I felt really disoriented. I was having kind of a panic attack. I was crying. I just really couldn't catch my breath. And so anyways, I did some research online, and there was actually a Halder, Franz Halder, H-A-L-D-E-R. He was in the Nazi party in Germany. And interesting enough, he died on April 2nd. So I just didn't know if there was some kind of connection. Ever since then, I've been trying to figure it out. So I didn't know if Neil had any
feedback. Alder actually, no, it's a variant of the word old.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It is.
Like Auld Lang Syne?
Yeah. It's a Scottish term.
Okay.
So, you know, you are, Lindsay, going backward in time. There's a great novel called Looking Backwards. It's one of the first novels ever written about time travel. But that's another story. The attitude of going backward in time, and it's not uncommon for one to find themselves through the journey of the soul or the astral body to go back while you're sleeping in bed, for the astral body to leave your body and by this record go out and venture forth into another time element is common, very common. And then your sleeping body that's holding your brain is just receiving the impressions like you were watching television from a remote, you know, live television coming from a remote area. And so, and your energy has a strong, you talked about the 1940s around World War II and the element of the with the Nazis and the concentration camps and the trains. The trains became very synonymous with concentration camps, you know, leading to Auschwitz and work will make you free and all that kind of thing, where the trains and the cattle cars became more than just cattle cars. We started to uniform our thinking with more the idea that trains can be disastrous in some respects. So you have this energy field, Lindsay, and there's a hidden code in your energy. Now, not everyone is going to be born in April or born in 84, you know, 42, 4 and 2, and then 4 and 4. You actually, as I analyze your birth date, your birth date actually resounds with energy in terms of the years between 40, 42, and 44, because we have the 4 for 40, we have the 42 for April 2nd, and we have the 44 for the first and last numbers of your birth date. The only other number we don't have is at 8, but that graduating energy is going to be your awareness. So you do have an awareness factor in this. It's definite.
Okay.
And so you left something undone then. Probably in that lifetime, you died prematurely.
Huh.
My estimation is that you probably were neither a Jew nor a Nazi. You probably worked on the trains during that time and were sort of just apathetic. You weren't, you know, you were basically ignorant. You just did your job. You weren't a bad person. In terms of, you know, you're sort of somewhat mundane in terms of choosing a side, but it compelled you to come back to this planet. One of the things to come back with this planet was to have a compelling compassion for human beings, to start to think hard, to regroup with your soul and to start to have a higher conviction in your energy. Now, you are compounded, meaning that you've gathered a lot of karma over your past lives. So this idea about the train and part of the energy that you had, you might have had some brief connections with Nazis, but you weren't, I don't believe you were with the Nazi Party or anything.
That makes me feel so much better.
Yeah, no. I don't think, well, you know, I mean, you could, theoretically, Nazis can come back and be Jews. They can come back and be great humanitarians. I mean, the karma can be intense, but and not every Nazi was evil. I mean, the idea of Nazism is different sometimes from the participants that were actually had to join the Nazi Party because they were youth, and but that's a hot topic. I mean, we just can't really just say one thing or the other. And of course, Nazism is a whole different aspect of from the individuals that went through that process for whatever given reason. Ass is a writer who wrote The Tin Drum. He joined the Nazi Party and then he got the Nobel Peace Prize for Literature, and he did it as a youth.
Wow.
So, you know, it's not, we have to define who had fever in the energy and who were actually anti-Semitic or the haters of humanity and things like that, as opposed to some of the other characters that were involved in the Nazi Party. But aside from that, Lindsay, I do believe that you probably, it might also mean that you have come back to find a lost love, is another aspect of my journey with you.
Okay,
Are you currently single or married?
She's not married.
No, well, I mean, I'm single. I just see the guy that I've talked to you before privately about.
Lindsay, sorry to interrupt. Neil just had a light bulb go on about who you are.
Okay.
So he knows now who he's talking to and that you're not married.
Yeah, Lindsay. Okay. I when I go on the radio, I deal with hundreds of people.
Yeah.
I don't always the name. my mind would implode if I. So now I know who you are. Everything I said was accurate. But that's even better because I wasn't prejudging you from having, knowing you exactly who you are. But what?
Right.
So I know you're not married. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Oh well, the guy that I'm seeing before he's come up in private readings, as we've had two lifetimes together, and we're actually on our third lifetime together.
Okay.
And
you're still involved with this guy.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, there's elements of war correspondent, there's elements of photography, there's elements of the attitude probably comes from that area, Lindsay. And we even talk about war as being a theater. And I'm aware that now, knowing who you are, about the theater and acting and things like that.
Yes, yeah.
The attitude that war is theater. I mean, it's a corruption of the word itself in a way, and that the participants are actors. And so what we've got here probably is some form in a past life of some kind of war correspondent on his part.
Hmm.
Is he involved in photography at all?
Yes, he is. He's very heavily involved in photography.
Yeah. So I'm thinking, the vibration of his war correspondence is commingling currently with your energy, and I do think it comes from an encounter of a past life. But it's very intriguing, Lindsay. That's what makes life so fascinating, as we put the pieces from past lives and into our life, we form a full puzzle that now becomes a picture.
Okay. Yeah, it's very interesting. Okay.
Isn't it, Lindsay? Well,
yeah.
Helps, and it's really nice to hear from you on the show.
Yeah, thanks. I'm very happy to talk to you guys. I always enjoy listening to your show.
Oh, thanks so much, Lindsay. We appreciate it. And Neil,
thank
can you reach 596-7818? And of course, Neil, no one would expect you to remember the number of people that you deal with. And so it's in no way takes away from your genius.
No. It just adds to my senility.
I'm the one who becomes senile because I'm the one who retains this stuff for some reason. But, then again, I'm not doing all the readings, which would be a massive undertaking. Okay. 402.
Hi, this is Diane. Thank you for taking my call.
Hi, Diane.
My question,
Hold on just a sec. She's
certainly.
For us. 324-62, and we spoke with you Wednesday. Hi.
Hi. I've had something come up that's really been bothering me. I feel my father, who's been in spirit for about 12 years, I feel him around me. I've felt him around me for years, but lately I just feel like he's wanting me to do something, like something to protect myself, and I get different things, but I just was kind of curious what you were getting.
Well, let me ask you something, Diane. Did you ever know anyone in law enforcement, or have you ever encountered any degree of law enforcement, even in and so far as a traffic ticket?
Yes, I have. And I have a feeling that my father might have been in law enforcement, like in a past life or something, that might have carried down to the way he treated me.
Yeah, so there was a sort of brutal, more brutal, hard edge attitude to his discipline of you, verbally or?
Yes, somewhat.
Well, you know what I get around you is I actually see a female officer. Now I'm going through remote viewing here, but I actually see a female officer that looks very manly. And she, not this isn't you. This seems to be an encounter from a past life. You know, you were born in 62, so you know we could easily still be looking at something from the 50s prior to your lifetime here. And you know, your father's been in spirit 12 years, which incidentally puts you at you're 51 years old now. So that would put you specifically around the age of 39. When he crossed, and I just, you know, things are floating in my mind piece by piece. I'm seeing some guns. Anybody have a collection of guns anywhere in your lifetime?
Not that I'm aware of. I believe my father had one, but he always had it locked up where my brother and I couldn't access it.
Well, you say you believe he had one. How do you make that more concrete? Did he have one or didn't he?
I was told he had one, but I did not see it.
Oh, you were told? Who were you told by?
I don't remember if it was my father or my mother.
I see. Well,
but it would have been one of my parents.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Parents, they sometimes lie. So, and I get the feeling whatever he's trying to tell me, he's like trying to protect me and help me maybe against something my brother or mother might be doing.
Well, who, you know, in investigating this, of course, I'm using more of my psychic guy in this intent, but who currently around you has a pet, like a dog or a cat?
I have two dogs.
From there, I'm pulling the rope, and I'm finding that your father is involved in your environment because he seems to be centrally located where there are dogs. And you have two dogs, so I'm assuming that he is visibly, he's in your environment. He's in your environment, and I don't know what he's doing there yet. Do you live in an area where there's any evident crime, or is it a peaceful, you know, Andy Griffith neighborhood?
It's relatively peaceful. It's definitely not high crime.
Uh-huh.
I'm not afraid to live in the neighborhood I'm at right now. I'm kind of hoping to move where to my father's hometown, actually, to a house that was his mother's, and I think it might have something to do with that, but just not sure. I get cross signals.
Is that still in Nebraska?
Yes, it is.
Well, Nebraska's kind of, you know, when you get to places like Nebraska and Kansas, even in these rural areas like in Cold Blood, where you have these rural farms and all of a sudden there's an outburst of crime there, something goes wrong, as opposed to a high crime area and nothing ever happens to you. You know, crime is relative. It doesn't credit itself with just what the location is. It could happen anywhere. And I'm suggesting you're you're walking into any kind of crime-ridden area or anything, but there's got to be, there is something definitely going on in the scope of a reading that I'm picking up on. How about on your own personal body, Diane? Any scars, any accidents, any cuts that lingered into scars, stitches?
I have a scar, a surgical scar.
Yeah, that's a cut.
A scar.
Yep. That's with the knife. And was that on your abdomen or where is that?
Yes, abdomen.
I'm taking that as part of the vibrational conversation I'm having with your father. Now, your father, yes, can indeed be in the soul. He's indeed in the soul state. He hasn't reincarnated into a body. He hasn't transcended into the ultimate spirit form. I know you said he's 12 years in spirit, but he's actually 12 years in soul. His soul, if he was 12 years in spirit, he would be off the planet entirely. There would be no connection to him. He's way out there. But the soul still weighs the spirit down within a realm where we can communicate. And so he does seem to be having there's some thought form congregating around me coming from him that suggests that he's kind of watching over you as much as he can do, I guess, in his capacity. There's a birthday coming up, not just yours, but there's another birthday. Anybody born in February in the family?
Not that I'm aware of. Not in my immediate family, anyway.
Not in your immediate family. Did your dad cross in February? Any attitude about February?
No, he crossed in April.
Oh, in April?
Not really thinking of anything that I can remember.
Let me explain something, Diane, for the lack of time. You said April. Now, you're born on the 24th. And in numerical value, the 2 would be February and the 4 would be April, if you get my line of thinking.
Okay.
So he's alluding not to February, he's alluding to your birth date. So there's something coming up this birth date year that he's wanting to protect you. You're going to be, 52? There's
53.
Something coming up. How much?
53.
She's born in 1962, is that right?
Yes.
I see what I did wrong. Okay, so you're going to be 53. There's something coming up this year where he's suggesting that he's going to be protecting you about something. So there is some form of protection. But I don't want to leave you with stress. He's protecting you.
So that's good.
So you're going to be okay, but there is something.
Is there any action he wants me to take? That's what I was feeling I wasn't getting a message on.
Well, prayer, awareness are two of the most action terms right now. Real quickly, are you planning to get a new car soon or anything with a vehicle?
No, I might need one, but I can't get one right now.
Oh, but you might need one, meaning your car is getting out down in the coming.
Yeah,
to
it's not doing so well.
Okay, so I want you to be cautious with the car.
Drive
very cautiously with car. If you drive cautiously and defensively and abide by all the rules, that would be my quick suggestion for you in terms of what you can do to keep yourself safe.
Okay, Diane, and you can always discuss this in a more detailed conversation with Neil, but the radio show, unfortunately, is not really structured for super, super in-depth readings. But we thank you for your call. 562-596-7818 is Neil's number, and we have a call from 651. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi, who's this?
This is Leslie.
Hi, Leslie.
Hi.
Leslie, what's your birthday, please?
9/1/66.
I'm sorry, say that again.
September 1st, 1966.
Okay, Leslie. And have we spoken with you before?
No.
I don't think so. Yeah, welcome to our show. And
what's
going on?
Well, I'm just trying to figure out career. I'm just not quite sure what direction to go. I'm working with my boyfriend right now, which is fine, but I just feel like I need something that's more mine, more independent.
Oh, his business or something like that?
Yeah, it's his business.
Okay, and I don't want you to say too much because Neil might pick that up in the reading. So you're looking for more of your own thing. Currently working with the boyfriend and want to know about what's going to develop in that regard. She's a 32-5, right?
Yeah. What about 1994? What was going on then, Leslie?
1994. Let's see. I was 28.
No, you were 30.
I started. I was 30. Well, I had just. I'm sorry.
You were 32 years old.
Okay. I owned my own coffee shop.
98?
When she was 32, it would have been 1998.
Yeah. You owned your own coffee shop.
Yes, which I started in 95.
Okay. Where's your location,
Pardon?
By the way? Where's your location?
I'm in Minnesota.
Okay.
Well, you know, you have management skills, organizational skills. Obviously, your energy is geared towards food in some respects. But you know what I'm getting about you? Graphic design. Who's into graphic designing or designing of some kind?
I don't know.
I don't know. First of all, I'm getting into graphic design. It's really strange because there are strange symbols that I'm seeing. Did anybody... what does your boyfriend do?
He owns apartment buildings, but I also, right around the age 32, 34, kind of started my spiritual journey. And I do channel different symbols. So I don't know if that's what you're picking up on.
Yeah. And thank you. This is more of a universe design of the higher element.
Yeah.
So that now yeah. we're getting into a now this is intriguing to me because the symbols that you are channeling and symbols when you go into I spent years studying, you know, symbols and the dictionary of symbols and what symbols mean. I'm fascinated by that concept. So the symbols that you are manifesting. Well, in a deeper discussion, we talk about what the symbols are and where they're coming from and from what culture and from what element. Some of the symbols are astral in origin. Some of them are religious. Some of them are earthly. Some of them are pagan. So we've got different elements of symbols as far as religious symbols, too, of course. So you're working in an abstract area of spirituality because the symbols are probably coming from a, if you will, pagan or ancient rich religion, something that
mm-hmm.
might have been Christian, that might have been involved in your energy. Of course, people who were born in the month of in the ninth month, which Judeo-Christian calendar is September, but the ninth month was I think originally the sixth month. But that was in the earlier calendar before it was changed over. But I believe it was the sixth month. I think it was the sixth month of September. But it's not important. Your energy has you're born in 66, which is starting to ring a bell with me. I think what we're doing, Leslie, is you. I can't answer this on the radio. It's too in depth, too complicated. But there's an element of those symbols that would further enhance the discussion as to what your career should be in terms of maybe this sort of graphic designing of the universe, which can be manifested into a language, which may be part of your channeling, which may be part of the variety of your discussion and communication with your fellow human beings, which could take on the form of a teaching or book writing or something that you promote yourself on that higher esoteric level. That's what I'm thinking,
mm-hmm.
right? Is there something to do with the symbol? I'd have to go into more depth about the symbol and see what the symbols are and research them and kind of go into that zone, but you can do that yourself too. I am seeing a simple symbol, though. It's an oval energy. It's a round sphere, and it's an eye in the middle. Now, that's common, but I am seeing that. There is an X going through the circle itself, so it almost feels like something from the Masons. But you know, I'm not, it's an ancient, there could be some cult energy in there, but that doesn't mean it's evil. It just means that there's
right.
some kind of divine construction of symbol for you. Anybody in your family, was there any member in your remote family that ever went into medicine or had a very bad eye problem, sight problem?
No.
But then
mm-hmm.
I'm dealing with more the esoteric pattern of your past life, which, again, I'm reading you as being a little bit more complex than the simple radio reading. It gets into a deeper
right.
complexity that, you know, how many other callers do we have?
Two.
How much time do we
Eight
have?
8 minutes.
8 minutes. I can't do it today.
That's fine.
But there's something very intriguing about the element of those symbols. And what do the symbols consist of?
Oh, they're ever changing, but it's a lot of spirals, and there is light language in there. There's lines. I feel like there's dimensional work. It's very multi-layered. I'm still trying to figure it out. I know it's universal. I'm trying to learn to stay more within my energy field instead of going out into the universe to collect the energies to do it, you know, because I'm more scattered. I'm not grasping what it all means because I tend to want to leave my body to get the information instead of staying present. But yet it's very simple.
No, it's not a difficult thing to do. Maybe you can, I don't know, maybe there's a way. If you're intrigued enough, contact me and we can talk in further depth if this is intriguing to you. Because I have to see the symbols and
sure.
Interpret them to give you a full analysis. But I do, you know, the graphic design is somewhat important, and we're making a big jump from operating a coffee shop, and your boyfriend builds, you know, apartment buildings. This is not where your essence is. I don't want to separate your boyfriend, but if you're
right.
talking about your own self and the energy of your own self, the sixth chakra, which is the third eye, which is the eye of vision, is going to be inherent in your year. Your master number is five, which is expression, and we've got a high energy level for past life with a big drop from 9 to 1. So I've got it's just too much time that it would involve for me to give you a responsible answer on a radio show.
Okay, so how could I reach you?
Leslie, that's 562-596-7818. And any inquiries, any inquiries regarding readings must be done by phone. There's a website, but you're not going to find much information on that. It's very basic.
Okay.
And that.
Can you? I'm sorry. 7818. Okay.
Yeah. Okay, Leslie. Well, thank you so much for your call.
Thank you.
Okay, take care. All right. We have time for one more caller, and it will be 407. Michelle, 101774. Okay, what's
Hello?
Your question, Michelle? Hi.
Yes, thanks. Hi, Neil. Hi, Kristen. It's been a while since I called, sure. I have a question today, Neil, about Spain. I'm working on getting some different projects going with Spain. Can you tell me which ones you think look positive?
With Spain?
Yes.
7, 8, 9, 19, 29, 30.
She's a 30 equals 3.
Yeah.
She's 40 years old.
Well, personally, I connect with Spain through Don Quixote, amongst other things, Cervantes' great book. But let me get back to where you're coming from, because Spain is rich in energy. I'm seeing, you know what I'm seeing is a, in the past life, I'm seeing the element, now this is past life, I'm seeing the element of the earth, number one. Number two, I'm seeing the element of grape, wine. Now, I'm in a past life, and Spain, there were, you know, there the Catholicism, I think, in a past life energy of Spain in terms of the cultivation of wine and earth was part of the past life energy. Now, we're also talking about the higher mystical qualities of the spirit and other aspects that bring that wine brings in, which is about the higher energy levels of salvation, awareness, and when we get into other aspects of Eros and the god of wine and that, we're more or less talking about two different layers of energy in terms of the paganism and there and the more of the spiritual religion of attitude. What is your connection with wine itself? You know, what is your connection, if any, with wine?
I like wine, but also one of my ideas that I had was to work with people who produce wine in Spain.
Okay, that's
what was on your ideas? Well, what I think you're going back, Michelle, to Spain to reconnect with a past life that has to do with wine, but this time around there's going to be some mystical element involved in it. So I would encourage you to investigate this, because I'm picking up wine myself. And like I said before, I don't equate Spain with wine. I equate Spain with Cervantes and Don Quixote and literature. And just
right.
Maybe the earth itself, the land itself. But with you, I went to wine. And if you're one of your ideas was to develop wine or connect with wine, that's what you have to investigate. And, of course, you have to come from some aspect of knowledge, because wine is very scientific in its content. It's a science more than a food. Can't you say that there's a scientific aspect?
Absolutely, but I wouldn't say more than food. I would say there's a balance between the scientific aspect and the, you know, the application of wine in a culinary process.
For some reason, in the terms of the mysticism, not just the appetite of wine, in terms of the mysticism of wine, which is a close relation to science,
mm-hmm.
That's what I'm connecting
for
with
her,
Michelle.
For
yeah.
her. Yeah, specifically.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, and that's great, because that's I actually forgot about that one, that idea. But I'm kind of working on going back in March, but I don't think I can explore that wine thing yet.
Well, okay. Well, briefly, because
we've got 90 seconds left. I don't know. Hold on to that one. Go there. The compelling factor of going there is karmic, Michelle. So go there. And I don't have time to illustrate what the first steps could be, but go there on your own instincts. But keep wine as a seed, if you will, and cultivate that while you're there. March is going to be significant because it is your master number three, so you're in alignment on your journey.
Okay.
All right, Michelle.
Okay. Thanks a lot for your time.
Thanks you. Thank you. I'm having problems with my tongue today. I don't know what it is. you're amused, apparently. Well, thanks a lot.
That's right. I had a speech impediment when I was a kid, so I always laugh when somebody stumbles. I couldn't talk till I was eight. So
I know.
It's kind of humorous to see people doing it.
And now that. You won't stop.
No.
Okay, well, we're back on the air on Wednesday, everybody, 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern, and all the other times in between.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks. Thanks again.